You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for coming out and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
My name is Jarrett.
How you doing, Jarrett? How are things?
I'm good. I'm over here in the beautiful Napa Valley, where the water fountains are filled with Chardonnay, and
I heard
the homeless people on the street bleed a fine Cabernet.
So, when you guys first discovered that homeless people there bleed Cabernet, how often when you had a steak dinner did you just go out and stab somebody?
Well, no, what I did was I lured them in with the steak dinner and I said, hey, you want to come join us for this? And then I quickly shivved him in the throat with the steak knife I was provided and then poured their still beating heart's blood into my wine glass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Me, nothing I would have hooked class. Them up to some system to be able to continuously get that wine and then label it and make a small fortune, but that's just me.
Well, that's thinking long term. I just wanted to kind of do this in the romance of the restaurant.
Oh, gotcha.
But long term, for sure, yeah. I could get a whole homeless factory of people to support my homeless blood Cabernet.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think you should make a label for it and test it. See what people think.
Hobo.
Yeah. Cab.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, everyone. Just wanted to mention real quick about a shop in Canoga Park, California called Spiro's Heroes. Elliot, the proprietor of the store, has over 300,000 books in what's called the Temple of Comics. That's Spiro Heroes in Canoga Park. Spirosheroes.com.
Hobo.
Yeah. Cab. Well, besides Hobo Cab, we're here to talk about a different hobo. We're here to talk about more like a gangster, actually. We're here talking about the Black Mask. We're going to do a little spotlight on him.
That's right. This is some more comic book character history. It's actually funny that we did start out so brutal because in researching this character, he is one of the most insanely brutal. Like, his biggest thing is torturing people. He's infamous for how he tortures people. I did not know this, and we will get into that. But let's give a little bit of the fine details first. Mr. Roman Sionis, a.k.a. Black Mask, was created by, I'm probably going to say this wrong, but I think it's Doug Munch.
Munch or Mensch? I think Mensch is what a lot of people say.
Doug Mensch and Tom Mandrake. His first appearance was in August of 1985 in Batman number 386. And now we're just talking about this book off air.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was just asking if you remember the cover of it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's one of my favorite covers of a first appearance. It's what is it? It's Batman's mask and face, and then Black Mask's mask and face, right? Like, kind of like one on top of the other.
Yeah, like Black Mask is just hovering his face above Batman's face, but you don't really see Batman's face. You just kind of see the cowl and nothing in it, really. And same thing with Black Mask.
So it is just the mask. Okay.
They're like caricatures. Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, and this is something I love about Batman villains in general is by like just looking at them from afar. They're kind of hokey and silly, and it doesn't seem like there's much thought into them. But once, you know, people like Denny O'Neill and
Scott Snyder.
Yeah, Scott Snyder. So once these writers like Scott Snyder and Denny O'Neill and stuff started delving into the darkness that is Batman, his villains took a sinister turn. Like, so one of the main things about all his villains is like they're obsessed with one thing to an insane point, you know, like Riddler. With hatching his riddles that Batman has to go through. Mad Hatter is obsessed with Lewis Carroll and everything Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can make that really hokey, but the good writer makes it fucking sadistic. You know, like Batman the Animated Series, how like creepy they made Jervis Tetch, aka the Mad Hatter, you know, kidnapping a girl named Alice and like trying to create like a Wonderland and shit like that. You know, so Black Mask, on that hand, is obsessed with masks, and we'll get into further when we get to his origin of like why he is so obsessed with masks.
Yeah, absolutely. You were going to say we were talking off microphone here when we first started talking before we started recording. And what were you going to say?
Well, now we were saying, you know, a lot of these characters we've showcased, we showcased because I think either they're going to appear in some kind of movie or, you know, like we did Taskmaster. He's going to appear in the Black Widow movie. We have a Booster Gold one coming up because we just think that guy's inevitably going to be in something. And now Black Mask, everybody knows now, is going to be or is in. He's the villain in Birds of Prey, played by Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime a character is announced in the comic world for a movie, that's when the books start going up and the prospecting goes up and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And now,
it's easily a $30 book for the longest time, at most.
Right.
Easily.
Right.
And then slowly, for no reason whatsoever, I think just the hype of prospecting in of itself, the book climbed to about $100 in like an insane level. And I couldn't understand why at conventions. I would try to talk people down to $70, and they were like, are you insane? And I was like,
I remember you texting me going, like, I want this Black Mask book, but this guy's going for this. And I'd be like, offer that. And you're like, he won't take it. I'm like, then, yeah, we'll walk away, because this is, it's not there yet, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I think it was just strictly because kind of like Spider-Man villains, a lot of people, once Spider-Man movies did good, everybody was like, let me get every obscure Spider-Man character's first appearance. And you know, in Black Mask, he's, you know, he's not, he's definitely not like an A-list Batman villain, but he's definitely like a hard B-minus, you know, like he definitely.
He's been in what, three of the animated features from DC Universe. He was in,
Under the Red Hood, I think Bad Blood, and I don't know what the other, and he definitely, I think, was in like a Brave and the Bold episode.
Too. Yeah, it was The Batman Under the Red Hood, and Batman Bad Blood.
Right.
Those three. One of them in The Batman, James Remar played him.
Right. I love that guy.
In Batman Bad Blood, it was Steve Bloom.
Right.
But my boy, the one I loved so much, was Wade Williams played him in Under the Red Hood.
Yeah. Which I thought was a good showcase of the character for an animated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably the best that you could get for that character. I mean, it was just brilliant, to be honest.
And one of the better, I think, DC animated, that whole story, they did really well.
Yeah, before there was, what was that, Flashpoint one, which is my all-time favorite now. Before
Flashpoint's
that one,
great, yeah.
Yeah, before that one, it was Under the Red Hood for the longest time.
Yeah, and still holds up, I think. And then this character's also been in, I think he's not for sure. I mean, I know for sure because I've played him, but he's in the Arkham games. They always put him in. I think he was like an extra character at first. And then they put him in Arkham Origins. They put him in that one pretty heavily. Okay. So he's a very popular character. I mean, I think the look, you know, this guy with this, like, he's like a black red skull, but he's a gangster. So so let's talk about his origin, because his origin is actually... He's kind of one of my new favorites now. Like, I knew a little bit about it, but when I started to delve into it, I was like, oh my God. So, like I said, his name is Roman Sionis. He was born to a wealthy family, much like the Waynes. In fact, they knew the Waynes, but they were not as giving as the Waynes were. These people were, like, very self-obsessed. They only cared about themselves and their social status in Gotham. And at his birth, and it's so great. I was looking at the panel today. The doctor, the surgeon, who was the first mask he ever saw, because he saw the surgeon's mask, but apparently he's got great memory because he could remember being born. But the doctor dropped him on his head. The parents covered up his fall. I don't know why. I guess they didn't want to be embarrassed that they're, you know, that this wealthy couple, they had a son that was dropped on his head.
Yeah.
But they're like, he's like, I don't know. The dad's sitting there and they're like, so they say ever since he was dropped on his head, his eyes have never looked the same. He always has like a creepy expression. And he's like, I don't know why we didn't sue that butterfinger doctor. Like, that's what you're saying about the surgeon who just dropped your kid on his head. Butterfingers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Got to cover this up and not sue him.
Yeah.
And then later, wasn't he like bit by a raccoon or some
yes!
shit?
Yes. Yeah. And I had to double check on that. I was like, why would you put that in his origin that he was bit by a rabid raccoon? But apparently he's on his rich family's estate, and I think he was trying to like make friends with it, because once again, he saw the mask, you know, like they say raccoons have like the bandit's mask.
Yeah.
And he was like, look at this pretty creature. It's got a mask. And for some reason, I'm crazy obsessed with masks because I was dropped on my head. And the raccoon attacks him. And that was supposedly some kind of scarring moment in his life. So, and it was another thing that his parents forbade him to talk about it, like at dinner parties.
What was the social standing of the raccoon? Because I could understand if it was a poor raccoon not wanting him to talk about it.
Exactly. Maybe it was just the wealthy raccoon. Yeah. You know,
I think it's like the mask reference vaguely, you know, with the doctor usually has a mask on, you know, delivering. And a raccoon being a bandit and having a mask. I kind of get that, but they're just so damn random and weird.
Yeah, yeah, completely. And so I guess his family, so he actually, because his family was rich and they wanted to have like a high social standing, they wanted to be known with the Wayne's family. And so Roman actually met young Bruce Wayne when they were a little kid. So they actually, I think that's a kind of a cool little side thing that he actually knew him as a kid, and obviously, you know, I don't think he ever knew that Bruce Wayne was Batman.
No, I don't believe that ever happened.
But so the whole mask thing is supposedly that he felt that his parents wore a mask, you know, like by hiding everything. So in order, he thought the hypocrisy had a deep impact on him. So he said he grew to resent his family and the masks that they wore in public. So that was something that started to ingrain in his head as far as the masks go.
So he didn't like his family or Bruce's family or both?
He didn't like anybody pretty much, but he definitely resented his family incredibly because they always were covering up all these bad things that happened and they were hiding everything because their whole thing was portraying themselves in one light. But behind closed doors, they were these shallow, you know, horrible people. Like, obviously didn't care about their kid getting dropped on his head.
Yeah.
And now here's an interesting tidbit. So after graduating from high school, he was given a high-ranking position in his father's company, Janus Cosmetics. So his family, that's how they had their money, was a cosmetic company. Ooh. This, though, this part, I definitely think Tim Burton took some of this and put it into the first Batman film.
I know where you're going with this one, yeah.
Right, with the Joker cosmetics and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, So there, in the Janus Cosmetics company, he met and fell in love with a working class model. I guess that means she's just a run of the mill model, not a supermodel. Named Cersei. And his parents did not approve of the relationship, and they forced him to break it off. So enraged, this is where it gets dark. He burned down his family's mansion, killing both his parents, and in doing so, he inherited their fortune and the business. However, Roman was not a good businessman. And he ruined the Janus Cosmetics company by funding a failed line of face paint makeup. Now, the face paint makeup the chemist created, it was rushed to the market too quickly without proper testing. And
on
it
animals.
Disfigured. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they did not. Well, you should have fucking went for that raccoon. You would have just grabbed that raccoon. All of this would have been fine. It just melted its face.
Absolutely.
So much like the parallel with the Joker makeup in Batman, the first Batman film, this makeup was disfiguring several hundred women. And Cersei, now Roman's fiance, then broke up with him in front of his entire staff. So this is slowly starting to see the cracks in the mask, if you will. So now Bruce Wayne, the head of Wayne Enterprises, we all know, he offered to bail Janus Cosmetics out. And he basically said, like, look, I'll take it over, but you got to be out of the company. So humiliated and furious, Roman broke into the set. I don't know why he takes it. This is where it gets weird. He was so mad that he was embarrassed. I guess maybe he blamed his parents for his failings in life. So he's kicked out of his company. He lost his girlfriend. And I mean, he's still rich, but I don't know what his big deal is. But he breaks into his family's crypt in the cemetery where they're buried. And seconds before he can unlock the crypt, he's struck by a lightning bolt.
Of course.
Blast the door open, hurling Roman headfirst into a nearby stone. And Roman takes this incident as an omen of his rebirth. He's becoming something new. So what he does, this is where it gets awesome. He smashes his father's ebony casket and he starts to carve out a skull mask, and he forms it into a skull and makes what would be his first black mask.
I'm going to be honest with you. Anytime you fall headfirst into something, whatever you hit, you have to immediately start carving a skull mask out of it.
Exactly.
It's just the way it is. I mean, I've seen this at Walmarts before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I seen a guy fall into a potato bin headfirst, immediately started carving a mask out of a potato. It was the weirdest thing.
Skull potato mask. I am brown mask. And he just started running around.
He called himself the Spud, but I'm not sure.
So within a month of this, because he's newly created, and what do? You know, when you have a failed cosmetic company, your life's falling apart. You carve a mask out of your father's coffin. Naturally, you want to become a gangster. So he becomes a gangster. He forms a group called the False Face Society. And he just won't let it go. This guy's got big time daddy issues. He uses the Sionist crypt where he carved his mask as their base of operations.
So was he trying to hide the fact of what his secret identity was?
Yes and no, because he was becoming Black Mask, but obviously he was doing a poor job of hiding that he was also Roman Sionist. So I think everybody kind of knew he was one and the same.
This dude had a major break.
Yeah. Like, well, that's what I love about it is it's a total Batman villain of like, they get obsessed with something because they have a major mental breakdown, and nothing's more, more of a breakdown than, killing your parents and then yelling and then going in a tantrum to break their graves when they're already dead. And then in doing that, making a mask out of their coffins. So he eventually attracts the attention of the police and Bruce Wayne, now operating as the vigilante Batman, to settle old scores, Black Mask murders three of Wayne Foundation's executives, and he kidnaps his old girlfriend, Cersei, forcing her to don a mask, this is fucked up, laced with Janus Cosmetics, toxic makeup, sparing her life, but permanently disfiguring her face, which once again, wasn't that like the Joker, the girlfriend that Joker had in Batman? He used the makeup, but it totally disfigures her face. So Tim Burton had to have seen this story and realized, obviously you can't bring Black Mask into it at this time. You got to use the Joker, but totally took from this story.
Absolutely.
So Black Mask then threatens Cersei he says, you'll rejoin me. He gives her a mannequin mask to make it even more creepy, intentionally designed to mock her former face. Batman eventually manages to deduce Black Mask's identity. So there you go, right there. He figures out it's Sionist. And he tries to set a trap for him. So Bruce Wayne holds a masquerade ball at Wayne Manor because, obviously Black Mask is obsessed with masks. Mm-hmm. So Black Mask goes to the ball to kill him. But Bruce successfully disarms Black Mask. And as he's retreating back to his hideout, with Jason Todd, who is Robin at the time, secretly following him, they're having a big fight, and Black Mask is at his house, and he enters his old bedroom and sets this is where it gets even more batshit crazy. He sets fire to all his old toys inside, intending to burn the mansion to the ground to symbolically kill his old identity as Sionist. But before Black Mask could escape, Batman flings a batarang. It's always Batman's like just kind of just pushing him a little more over the edge, flings a batarang attached to a cable around the crime lord's knees, causing him to fall face first on the burning floor just as the bedroom's rafters begin to collapse. The rafters pinned Black Mask face into the pile of burning toys. And although they were able to tow him out of the fire, his mask is now burned onto his face.
So, am I correct in understanding this is still the same mask from earlier that he made out of pieces of a tombstone?
Yes. Yes. But for some reason, I guess maybe, he used some of those Janus cosmetics. It's like flame retardant enough, but not enough to meld to his face.
Okay. All right. I guess I could see that. Sure. Why not? We've gone this far.
Yeah. So, that's his epic beginning. It's pretty, I was kind of shocked. I was like, damn, they went all out on this character. Like, they really, I think it's a 3-issue, origin, but they went balls out. So let's see. So after that, excuse me, sorry, I'm just getting so excited with that. So after that, I think the next time we really see him was in that Batman story, War Games, where he, well, I guess we know we see him a couple of times. We see him.
He pops in a lot, to be honest. He was at large during Nightfall and Zero Hour and
No Man's Land. He was in that.
Yeah, so he's had a lot of canonical in-canon appearances as far as that's concerned. I think the big one a lot of people like is that Under the Red Hood, with him being one of the main baddies in that, and having worked with the Joker as well in that storyline is kind of insane. I mean,
that's right. So
you see somebody crazy, you know, that likes to wear masks when he kills people and stuff, and you're like, this person's insane. And then this person that you think is insane is looking at the Joker and going, this person's insane. You're like, oh no. What's going on?
What they also did too, because he, you know, obviously became part of the Batman family of rogues, and the Batman family grew, you know, like Catwoman kind of became more of an ally and all that stuff. So he became actually a pretty big Catwoman villain after, you know, you said he popped in and out. He was in the War Games story. He was in the No Man's Land, all that stuff. But in Catwoman 16, this is where I was talking about, like, how torture becomes his thing. Mm-hmm. So Black Mask begins a drug trafficking ring, and he decides to move his organization to the Gotham's East End, where Catwoman soon begins to interfere in his plans because, you know, he's a gangster and she likes to steal stuff. So why not steal from a gangster, you know, and give it to the poor, Robin Hood style.
Right.
So this is where it gets really sick. Black Mask retaliates by forcing Sylvia Sinclair, that's a friend of hers, to reveal Catwoman's secret identity to him. After destroying Catwoman's youth center, Black Mask kidnaps her sister and brother-in-law, the latter of whom, the brother-in-law, he tortures to death with power tools before forcing the former sister to eat pieces of her husband's corpse, including his eyeballs.
Oh!
Catwoman arrives to find her brother-in-law dead, her sister insane because she was forced to eat her husband, and her friend Holly Robinson on the verge of being tortured as well.
Now, enraged, did she at least get to cook pieces of her husband, or was this raw?
I'm thinking it was raw. He was taking out power tools.
Yeah. I mean, not even any seasoning. Come on.
Nope. So Catwoman, you know, I wouldn't say she saves the day by any stretch. She beats him up and he falls on from the top of the building. And, you know, that's the last we see of him for a little bit. But that is some fucked up shit. Like, this guy is not playing around. Like they said, he loves torturing people. So he's drilling this guy with power tools while feeding him to his wife.
Here's a little tidbit too. There was an act in Act Two of War Games.
Mm-hmm.
The spoiler. I don't know if you remember the spoiler, but seeks out Orpheus, hoping to get Batman control of all of Gotham's crime lords.
Right.
Black Mask though has murdered Orpheus by slitting his throat,
mm-hmm.
and then captures Spoiler and proceeds to torture her to obtain information about the rest of her plan.
Right. Yeah, I remember that story.
He then assumes Orpheus's identity using face putty and padding, fooling even Batman. Okay, how easy is that to do? It's not, you know, right. To fool Batman. And as Orpheus, he goes on a mission to kill any member or associate of the Batman family. Then he goes back and continues to torture Spoiler more just for fun. He finds that she's escaped, though, and then although she's escaped his clutches, she supposedly dies due to injuries inflicted on her by, you know, all the shit that he pulled while he had her torturing her.
And she was dead for a while. I think they brought her back, like, you know, everybody gets brought back, but she was dead for a while, I think, because of that. And that was one of the, like, Batman, like, I failed kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was even crazier about that was that Orpheus character. He's kind of an obscure character. They, like, really tried to build that guy up. He had, like, a miniseries. They're like, yeah, he's going to be a new addition to the Batman family.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they killed him. I was like, that was a waste. Like, I mean, not that I remember him being the most interesting character, but they definitely didn't develop him enough to, like, just murder him like that. So that was always a weird one to me, because I always thought that character was kind of interesting.
Do that kind of stuff though in Batman. Like, do you remember Bluebird? I don't know if you remember Bluebird, but that was a Zack Snyder creation. That wasn't too roughly outside of the Court of Owls realm. They were building up this female to be a new female Robin, you know, that I thought for sure was going to be the next Robin.
Right.
And it ended up, they just turned her into a character called Bluebird and then just forgot about her. And I was like, oh, okay. That's cool.
We didn't think she was as cool as, it's so weird. It's like, you know what? She's not as cool as this killer.
I think the thing is that there's not enough sentimentality behind certain characters. So when new writers step in, if somebody has just created a character, they're like, I don't care about that character. I either want to do a story about my own take, about a vintage character, about a character I grew up loving, or I want to create my own character and make everybody love that character. And it's like this perpetual cycle of that kind of thinking that creates all these homeless characters, all these orphan heroes and villains, either, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah. And they either get developed or they get forgotten about.
Or they turn into palookas, which is, you know, a whole nother story.
Exactly. So to kind of wrap up Black Mask, as far as, I mean, he's still a character. This is where it gets weird. So basically, yeah, he's involved in a lot of stuff. He's the Red Hood story. He's very prevalent in, because it's basically this character, the Red Hood, who we later find out is a resurrected Jason Todd, comes in and starts just dismantling Black Mask's whole criminal organization. Like, he's just decapitating all his guys. He's killing them all. He's taking over. In the midst of this, though, Black Mask and Catwoman still have their whole, you know, because obviously Catwoman didn't let go that her sister was driven insane by eating her brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's a tough one to let go of.
So there's one point, it's a pretty badass panel, she puts a gun to Black Mask's jaw, and he's like, you wouldn't do it. And she's like, I wouldn't. Blam. Fucking kills Black Mask. Like, blows him away. He's dead. Like, that was it. Black Mask was done. But then there was a little story that you might remember called Blackest Night. Blackest Night was where all these, it was a Black Lantern ring, right? And it was resurrecting all these dead heroes and villains, I believe. Yeah. Was it just villains or was it heroes too? It was heroes too, right?
Some heroes, yeah, because Ted Kord was one of them. I don't know if you know this. I created a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns.
Never heard of that, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have to check it out. It's on YouTube.
Okay. And you said, what was it called again?
The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns.
The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns.
Right.
All right. We'll have to check that
Blue
out.
Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns.
So this newly resurrected Death Black Lantern Black Mask, in an attempt to scare Catwoman, goes after her sister once more. That's relentless. And he demonstrates the ability to fly and reorganize the structures of buildings. So he's got crazy powers. But who comes to the rescue? Not Batman, not Robin, not even a resurrected, dead, slit-throat Orpheus, or a bum with Cabernet blood, but Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy, another Batman villain, manages to stop Black Mask by trapping him inside a mutated pitcher's plant, its digestive juices dissolving his body as fast as his ring could regenerate it.
Oh, so, shit. That's nuts.
What? Like, this guy is like, his stories are definitely one of the most like gory, like, as far in the DC universe, I have to say his stuff is the most gory. So after that, he pops up in New 52, because I'm just going to ignore that because everybody else did, because then they had DC Rebirth, and in DC Rebirth, the character is back. Now he's got a gray metallic mask, and he's allied with the Penguin and other people, but it doesn't sound like they've really done anything with them substantial as they did prior to all this in those stories, like in the Red Hood and prior.
You know, some of my favorite Batman animated series stories are mob boss related, you know, Falcone and
those were great.
You know, those guys. But I don't remember them putting Black Mask in there at all.
Which was really weird, actually, because they went for some very obscure characters in the animated series. They went for, like, they had a Maxi Zeus story. I mean, that guy's pretty damn obscure.
Oh, one of my favorites.
I love Maxi Zeus, yeah.
Remember when we found out his first appearance, we were both so excited to snatch it up?
Yeah, because it's like Batman Family something. It's a weird book.
some random Batman family book for like $10 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's still one of my like, you know, not a super expensive book, but one of my prized possessions.
Yeah, yeah, one of a good find for sure. Oh, speaking of which, I just recently picked up. If we're gonna talk Batman, villains. We're gonna talk eventually. You know, Neil Adams' name will come up. I found a copy of Skate Man #1 from Pacific Comics.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's about this guy in booty shorts and a mask that goes around on roller skates kicking people's butts. This is Neil Adams.
Skate Man.
Skate Man.
What was it? Obviously, it was like an indie label. What label was it on?
Pacific Comics.
Pacific Comics. Yep. Wow.
Which is one we have yet to do the history of, but now I'm thinking we probably should.
Yeah. Anything with Skate Man in booty shorts. Wow. Oh, yeah. That's an intro. Like, that's like a 3 a.m, like, stoned idea.
Yeah.
Hey, I've done some great stuff for comic book history, but you know what I haven't done? A guy on roller skates and booty shorts fighting crime.
Yeah.
Make that happen.
That sounds like definitely the musings of a drunk man for sure.
So to wrap this up, we're going to be Black Mask, a hell of a comic book character. I love him in the books. Are we going to love him in the movie? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean,
well, okay. So I've got a little inside information.
This is true. Yeah.
I do know somebody that's seen the movie and they did tell me that he doesn't wear the mask the whole time. So,
yeah,
we all kind of had to assume that Ewan McGregor was going to need his face time. You know, it's part of the deal whenever you get a big actor that they have to be seen so often throughout the story or whatever.
Yeah.
So remember who they are. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's Carl Urban was the only guy that really understood fully. That you know, that doesn't need to be for people to remember who you are.
Or what's his name? Is it Pedro Pascal, the guy in The Mandalorian?
Oh, yeah. Recently, like, yeah, Mandalorian.
That's
yeah.
Ballsy, man. I was like, wow, like, just he's attaching himself to it. Like, obviously, it's not him in the suit all the time. It's a stunt guy. But, like, to be like, look, you can market me on this, but, like, it's cool if you don't show my face. Like, you know, you show it, like, once. Like, that's, like, I totally was like, that's ballsy. I love that.
He's made some super cool decisions in his career, which I very much appreciate. But yeah, so like, apparently in this film, when he goes to do mischievous things, like bad things, he puts the mask on, which I get, you know, that makes sense. So I heard that he does the character justice. He does a really good job from what I'm told. So,
oh, great.
Fingers crossed that's the case. You know, the time will tell. We'll see here soon.
And it's supposed to be him and like his like right-hand man is Zaz, I think, right? Mr. Zaz?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Zaz is supposed to be in there. Didn't you cosplay as Zaz one?
I did, yeah, I did. One of the easiest cosplays out there, people. Just put a bunch of tally marks on your skin, get a knife. Luckily, I have a shaved head, so that worked for me. And, I even did a side-by-side comparison of one of them, and I think I pulled it off. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I recall it did look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did not I was scared of you for about 5 minutes, I think.
Just five.
Yeah, just five.
And then I batted my beautiful brown eyes and everything is fine.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's gonna do it for us, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've covered a good amount of the Black Mask. Anybody else has any, you know, little tidbits they want to throw in or some of their favorite moments? You can always do that in the comments section on YouTube. Or you can always email us the real shortbox at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us there. You can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram. We have those. Again, you can find our podcast on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes.
We're on Spotify.
Spotify, Google Play Music.
Anywhere you can find podcasts, we're there. And just not only find us, but recommend us to your friends. And also, like Donald was saying, send us some emails. We'll read. If you got some cool comments or you want to write us a letter or something like that, we'll read it on the air if it's, you know, if it's something that we think we could we have a good answer to or something. So, yeah, please.
Yeah, we're happy. We're happy to answer anything and everything within reason, I guess. I don't want to get in between you and your grandpa on some type of a will reading or something. That's not my
yeah,
jam.
nothing legal. Pretty much anything. In fact, you know what? If you're out and about in the world, you know, just go to any random comic shop, because you might see us
at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.